One of my delightful times in over there was I spent three or four days with Gabe Stornaker at Kingsport, and Gabe is the recipient of all of the sermon notes of Henry Mahan. So I was actually given some sermon notes of Henry Mahan's, and I spent best part of a day with Gabe at the church, and I was in his office and he was in another room and I was just reading all these things. But Gabe brought me out a little piece of paper that was only this big. And when Ralph Barnard died, so there's a remarkable event that happened in 1952, I think it was, or 51, when Henry Mahan was a preacher in a Southern Baptist church, a big and successful Southern Baptist church, and Ralph Barnard came along and preached the gospel to Henry Mahan, and as a result, there have been a very, very significant number of people converted and a very significant number of churches, both in America and in Mexico and other parts of the world. So Henry Mahan is just a remark. He died a few years ago. But anyway, when Ralph Barnard died, who preached the gospel to Henry Mahan, and Henry preached to Todd and to all these others, and Gabe is married to his granddaughter, so he and Gabe have been great friends. And but when Ralph Barnard died, his wife gave Henry Mahan his Bible, and out of the Bible fell this little piece of paper. It was Ralph Barnard's sermon notes on the gospel. And it's just a very cute little piece of paper, and it's scribbled in Ralph's handwriting, and that's what he preached the gospel from. At some stage, and we obviously don't know when and where, but nevertheless, so I took a copy of it, and I thought I'd preach Ralph Barnard's gospel to you, which is the gospel that Henry Mahan preached. It's the gospel that we preach here. And so, it's Gabe has a treasure of all of these things, and it was lovely to be with him. I'll just read these notes and then we can have a cup of coffee and I'll come back and look at John chapter 6, because this is exactly what the Lord is preaching in John chapter 6. So the question he had is, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? This is the gospel according to our church. This is the gospel according to Henry Mahan. Everyone has a gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed to call the gospel my gospel. Paul called it my gospel on several occasions. In fact, 77 times in the New Testament, the gospel is called the gospel. There is only one gospel. It's a particular gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel that comes from God. It's the gospel that glorifies God. It's the gospel by which all of God's children are saved. And so, just to begin, I thought I'd just read some verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And this is a gospel that's received, and it's the gospel in which you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain, unless your belief becomes empty. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that word for is to stand over and to shield and to protect all of the little children of God from the wrath of God, because it fell on the Lord Jesus Christ and it cannot ever fall on them. He died for our sins according to scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Last of all, he was seen also of me, as one born out of due time. He wasn't born in the way the other apostles were born. For I am the least of the apostles, but I am not meet, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So let's go back to Ralph's notes, having read what the Apostle Paul said. He began by saying, What it's not a plan. It's not your steps to gain favour with God. There wasn't anything about you in that passage of scripture that describes the gospel. It talks about you standing in it, but it doesn't talk about your activities. It's not your steps to gain favour. It's not your repenting, your believing, your confessing, and your baptism. You can preach all of those things, says Ralph, and not preach the gospel. It's not a proposition. The gospel is not a proposition. Now, if you will believe, it's not a proposition about what you will do. It's not a proposition about a work that you must do. It's not a reward for services rendered. It's not, if you will do so and so, and you can fill in any of the blanks, then God will bless you. All of these things can be dealt with, and the gospel not preached. So what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Let's hear the declaration of heaven about this. In Luke chapter 2, these shepherds, you might recall, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. They sing about it at Christmas time. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So the gospel is good tidings of great joy. It's good news. It's good news for you. It's good news for sinners. If you turn over to a page or two in your scriptures, you'll come to the proclamation of the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed when he went to Nazareth. So the gospel's a declaration of good news. It's a declaration of what God does for the helpless. It's a declaration of what God does for those who cannot help themselves. Listen to the Lord's proclamation of the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee, that remarkable trumpet that was to be blown every 50 years, and everyone who had lost everything because of their sin and their rebellion against God had all of their debts cancelled. If they were a slave, they were set free. If they had lost their property, it was returned to them. Everything was to be restored. As you can well imagine, it was never ever celebrated once in all the history of Israel. And you can understand why, couldn't it? If you had a slave, you wouldn't want that trumpet to blow, would you? If you collected some property and you owned, as it were, and ran the property of these poor people, you wouldn't want that back. That was never celebrated. And the reason, of course, is very simple, because it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. He came to set the prisoners free. He became to release those who were captives. He came to the poor. He came to the blind. He came to the bound. He came to the dead. And so he came, and he doesn't ask their permission to set them free. He comes as a sovereign God and sets them free. He doesn't say to these people, if you take the first step, if you take the first step, there's no good news for you in a gospel that declares what you have to do. The good news is a declaration of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In Ezekiel 34, verse 16, it speaks of this great shepherd. He says, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. If you read the rest of Ezekiel 34, you'll be amazed at the I wills and the you shalls of the glorious gospel. So the question is, has the gospel been good news to you? Have you been set free? Have your feet been released from the miry clay? Have your legs to walk, have you ears to hear, have you eyes to see the good news of the glory of God in his finished work in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is good news, and if you don't hear the gospel as good news, you haven't heard the gospel. It's good news for sinners. It's good news. It's glad tidings of great joy. Secondly, the gospel is good news of a person. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is a person. It is Christ's gospel. It's not a plan, it's not a proposition, it's not a reward, it's a person. In Luke chapter 2, after that glorious declaration of the good, glad tidings of great joy from on high, the angels go on to speak of who has come, isn't it? The angel said, "Fear not, behold, verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And what did they find? "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They saw God Almighty lying in a manger, the very Christ of God. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad, saying that which was told them concerning this child. So the gospel is good news of a person. Lord Jesus Christ sent the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, not to baptise, but to preach the gospel. And the travail, the heart anguish of all of God's servants that are sent is in Galatians 4:19. He says, my little children who are tossed about by false teaching that tells you that you have to do something. There's something you can do to make God more willing to bless you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Bible. Moses wrote of me. Moses testified of me. Jesus Christ is the believer's entire spiritual supply. You know the verse well, but let's just read it one more time. He says in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." All of the wisdom. I'm looking at some incredibly wise people. There are multitudes in this world with PhDs and all sorts of things that would cause you to think that this is a very wise person. I'm looking at the wisest people in all of Shoalhaven here. We have the wisdom of God. If you have the wisdom of God, you have all the wisdom you'll ever need. He's made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness. We are made of God to be the very righteousness of God. The very righteousness of God. That righteousness which God must accept. That righteousness that comes from God. That righteousness can take us back into heaven's glories and the rejoicing of those gates being opened that we read about in Psalm 24. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's all of our sanctification. He's all of our holiness before God. All of it, bar none. And he is all of our redemption. He has bought us out and bought us and brought it to himself. That, according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The gospel is glad tidings. The gospel is good news of a person. The gospel is good news of that person's work. And here he takes us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes us to the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus from the cross. He, on the cross, in Luke 23, verse 34, he speaks as the mediator. He speaks as the intercessor of his people between us and God. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There was a vast multitude that were completely forgiven that day, and there were some particular individuals that were completely forgiven that day. He speaks on the cross, this Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks in his office as the mediator. And he speaks, secondly, on the cross, he speaks as a king. In Luke 23:43, he says to that thief who was dying next to him, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." These are the words of a king. Was that man in paradise that day? Absolutely. Why was that man in paradise that day? He didn't do a single thing. All he'd done was be evil and wicked all of his life. He was in paradise that day because of the work and the word and the promise of a great king. This king imparts eternal life. He opens doors that no man can shut. He is the sovereign ruler of all things, and he speaks as a king. He speaks as a king. "Thou hast given him," John 17:2, "thou hast given him power over all flesh, so he should give eternal life as to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So he speaks as a mediator, "Father, forgive them." He speaks as a king, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He speaks as a man who provided for his household. He says in John 19:26, he says to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John, he says, "Behold thy mother." He speaks as a man providing for his household at his death. He speaks as a sin bearer. He says in Mark 14:34, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer is in Psalm 22, as clear as you could ever wish to hear it, because you are holy. You are holy. He was bearing the sins of all of God's people in his own body on the tree. So he speaks as a mediator from the cross. He speaks as a king. He speaks as a man. He speaks as a sin bearer. And he speaks in real humanity. He says in John 19:28, he says, "I thirst." His agonies were real agonies. He died an agonizing death. There was nothing of a show. This wasn't a mere act. This was a reality of his real humanity being put to death under the wrath of God. So he died as a mediator. He died as a king. He died as a man on the cross. He died as a sin bearer. He died as one who had real humanity. He died as an effectual sacrifice and substitute, and he cried out from the cross, "It is finished. All of the debt is paid in full. There is nothing the child of God owes God any longer. It's all been paid in the Lord Jesus Christ." It was an effectual sacrifice, and it was a sacrifice of a substitute. He speaks as a mediator, he speaks as a king, he speaks as a man, he speaks as a sin bearer, he speaks with real humanity, he speaks as an effectual sacrifice and substitute, and he speaks as the accepted one. "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," and all of the believers are accepted in his acceptance before the Father. The gospel is good news. It's glad tidings of great joy. The gospel is good news of a person's work, the finishing of all the work the Father gave him to do. And he finished reading Psalm 24 to his people. We began by reading Psalm 24. It's good to hear it one more time, isn't it? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, he's established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God's people believe and rejoice and find it good news of glad tidings, good news about a person, good news about a person's work which is finished, good news about that person reigning and ruling over all things in heaven's glory right now. Good news about a person who is working every little tiny thing in this universe for the good of his people and the glory of his holy name. May that gospel be our gospel. May the Lord make it good news to us.